The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Caesar Augustus issued a decree for a census of the whole world to be taken. This census, the first, took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to be registered. So Joseph set out from the town of Nazareth in Galilee and traveled up to Judea to the town of David called Bethlehem, since he was of David's house and line, in order to be registered, together with Mary his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to a son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn. In the countryside close by, there were shepherds who lived in the fields, and they took it in turns to watch their flocks during the night. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them. They were terrified, but the angel said, "Do not be afraid. Listen, I bring you news of great joy, a joy to be shared by the whole people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And here is a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly with the angel there was a great throng of the heavenly host, praising God and singing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace to men who enjoy his favor." This is the Gospel of the Lord. I think I always find it very magical, something about midnight mass, whether it comes because it's the darkest and can be at the coldest time of the year, what for many of us is past our bedtime, and so we stay up and step aside and leave the world outside and hear again the message of the angels. And of course, Christmas always comes at the end of the year, or almost at the end of the year. And it gives us that opportunity to reflect and look back on whatever may have been within that year. The myriad of happenings and events, the interruptions to our daily life, sometimes the sheer humdrum of existence. And then sometimes just those few seconds that can change life forever for us. I think just this week you think of that coach crash that totally changed the lives of two of the people that died and all the others that were injured. Or as the news goes round the world about the attack on the Pope, and he's fine, I gather, but he was knocked down. But it's just a reminder that things are happening all the time. And so we come in and we arrive at Christmas, this time of night, probably a little tired, a little jaded, maybe perhaps apprehensive of the next few days. Families can be wonderful, as long as they're not for too long. Perhaps excited and thrilled, as the children still are. I take interest that the children are still excited for all the sophistication that they have. Actually, there was a great buzz both at the 5 o'clock and the 7 o'clock, because lots of children, and they're all sort of waiting, of course, for tomorrow. And so whatever's going on around us, whatever's happening in our lives, whatever's going on, we come here and we hear again the message of the angels, the familiar story. And St. Luke, as I said to you on Sunday, as well as being a doctor, was also a painter, and a painter on canvas, but even more so a painter in words. And tonight he weaves for us three strands, the census, the birth, the proclamation of that birth to the shepherds. And in a way, it's captured in that psalm response that we've sang quite a bit. Today, a Savior has been born for us. He is Christ the Lord. Today. That's what it says. Today. And it's an important word, that, because it means today. It is now. It's the present time. Just in the same way that the Easter candle bears the current year, 2009, so this is today, Christmas 2009. And Luke sets his story in the political scene of Emperor Augustus, at that time the most important man in the world, certainly as he saw it. And Caesar Augustus issued a decree that touched the lives of these two seemingly unimportant people from a remote backwater, Joseph and Mary. Rome, then the capital of the political world, was linked because of that with humble Bethlehem. But in a glorious reversal of roles, the time would come when Rome itself, not political Rome, would realize how blessed for her this very night was and is. And we focus on Rome because of what I've said about the attack tonight. Augustus had himself celebrated as the Emperor of Peace and saw himself as a savior. So Luke sets all that and then records that in an insignificant part of Palestine, a poor child born in a stable, and he is the true bringer of peace. He is the healer of the whole world. He is the savior. And 3 years ago, in his Urbi et Orbi message, Pope Benedict posed the question whether a world of the 21st century needed a savior, as in common with many of the Holy Fathers, they'd go on for a little longer than I do. So I won't go into all the arguments he gave, but what he ended up saying was, there's no doubt at all that the world is in need of a savior, just as it was 2,000 years ago. Our lives, too, are set in a political scene. Politics seems to dominate so much of life as more and more control sort of appears over us, or less and less freedoms we have as they're taken away from us. And in the last week or two, we've seen the most powerful and important men and women of the world today gathered in Copenhagen. And for all the vast expense of getting them there and all that huffing and puffing and all that, where are we any further on? It reminded me of that old saying, actually, which is, when all is said and done, more is said than done. Our daily experience of life tells us that all is not well in the world. In fact, in a great many parts of it and different departments of life of it, there's a great deal that is wrong. And neither Caesar Augustus in his day nor the world's most important men and women in our own day have the total answer. The answer is, was, and ever will be the same for us. And it's today. A savior has been born for us. He is Christ the Lord, in Jesus, born in our hearts and lives. God in Jesus intervened in history. When he stepped into the story of humanity, the people who were caught up in that story initially were the poor, the little people of the world, those who were empty enough to receive, those silent enough to listen, those open enough to wonder. But there was no room for them at the inn, which was too full and too noisy and too closed for the wonder of the skies. And that can be our world too. Society thinks It has no room or use for religion. And if it has any room at all, it's certainly not Christianity. And if it's got any room for that, it's not got anything for Catholicism. Others have no time for, well, they've no time because they're too busy. People often say fewer people go to church because they're all busy having to work to keep the shops open. What society is it that can hardly close for 24/7, 365 days? There's actually something wrong. And the Lord speaks about that. He speaks about the Sabbath being made for man. He says, you need it. You need that break. And yet we hardly get a break because they're too busy making money. Others have no time other than for self. Others may have been damaged by the church and by faith. All these things come into play, but it was ever thus. And our initial reaction could be the same as the shepherds, fear, terror, what's going on. And that's why we hear again, do not be afraid. For all that is going on, for whatever's happening tonight, we need only hush the noise, men of strife. Hear the angels sing. Empty enough of worries to actually take in and receive the gift of the Saviour. Silent enough to listen to what the Word of God is speaking to us. Open enough to wonder and to come and adore Christ the Lord. Christmas is our festival. It's Christ's Mass. No one can take it from us. But drink while you hear from the deep wells of the Saviour. Because today a Saviour has been born for us. He is Christ the Lord. He's the true meaning of our festival. A happy Christmas to you.